in case you haven't really caught up on what's been happening with Senator Rand Paul, in today's Washington Times, on the front page of the commentary section, you'll see the headline, TSA's intrusions undermine security. Senator or not, we're all stripped of our freedom and dignity. This refers to an incident yesterday that you encountered in Nashville, right?
Yeah, you know, I've been traveling pretty frequently over the last year or so since I was elected, and I really haven't had much trouble, but this time, apparently, you know, something went off in the body scanner, and so I did what I thought was common sense. I showed them the offending part. They said it was on my knee, so I lifted my pants leg and showed them my knee, and they said that wasn't enough. They said they had to do a pat-down, and I said, well, I'm showing you the spot. Why don't I just walk back through the scanner? But they were adamant that I could not walk back through the scanner, and I spent, you know, probably 30 minutes being confined to a certain cubicle area, and at that time, if I were attempting to leave, which I did attempt to walk out to talk to one of the TSA agents, they very aggressively told me, you cannot leave this area. So I stayed there, and I was going to miss a speech, so I said, let me make a phone call, and I picked up my phone, and they said, because you've touched your phone, you now have to have a full body search. And I was like, well, you know, so you're threatening me now that because I'm touching my own possessions that I get a full body search. And interestingly, about an hour and a half later, they changed their mind. They let me walk back to the scanner, and the scanner didn't go off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked the TSA agents, why do you think the scanner goes off sometimes and not others? And they told me, at least two of them, and they were in management, that the scanner is going off randomly also.
Huh.
And so you're getting random pat-downs based on, I guess, some program in the scanner.
Huh.
Now they're denying that. They're now saying publicly that that's not true, but they do say they do random pat-downs. So the question is the machine giving us random information,
yeah,
or is it giving us realistic information? If you do everything you're supposed to, take your shoes off, your belt, your wallet, everything out of your pockets, should you be allowed to go through, or do you have to submit to a random pat-down also?
Mm-hmm. So first time you were asked to go through a pat-down request?
This was the first time, yeah, that, yeah, I've been asked to do a pat-down. In fact, recently, and this is why I was a little confused and still am on the rules, 2 days before that I was in another airport, and I asked to go back to the screener, and they just let me go back to the screener.
Yeah, yeah. My guest is Senator Rand Paul. I wanted to tell you right up front that you're talking to a guy that every time he goes to the airport has to go through the pat-down because I have an electronic implant and my doctor will not let me go through a magnetometer. So it's a pain. I'll be the first one to admit it. You got to walk up. You have to ask for someone to do the pat-down. Sometimes they're available right away. Other times you have to take a seat in your little glass cubicle that you spoke of in your commentary, and you have to wait. And sometimes it takes 15 minutes or so to get somebody over there to take care of it. So I understand what you had to go through. But many times I've sat there and I said, you know, I guess this is the price I got to pay. I too, when you, in your piece today, you say, have the terrorist won. You thought about that. I too have said that very thing, but I keep telling myself it's important and it's necessary to keep everyone safe. Am I wrong to think that?
But isn't there another way? Perhaps since we've been doing this for 10 years, couldn't you submit some biographical information and a letter from your doctor and simply get an ID, and then you're a frequent traveler.
I have that.
And we wouldn't have to put you all through that rigmarole.
You know, and I have that. I have the ID. I have the ID from the manufacturer. I have the ID from my doctor stating that I have this device, but that doesn't seem to do any good.
Yeah, see, the TSA, there's no one with discretion there to make any reasonable decisions, and I think that's what we need, is we need to decide, would we accept some kind of frequent traveler program where you fill out information, a private computer or a private security company keeps this, and it allows you a little more ease of travel. I think they're wasting their time checking you each time. I don't know you personally, but I'm guessing if you have a radio program and that you live here and were born here, that probably you're not a terror threat. So really, they're wasting their time on you, and that could be time better spent on someone who is just arriving from Yemen or just arriving from Pakistan.
All right, but aren't what you talking about, isn't that considered profiling under today's standards if you're taking a look at a specific individual based on appearance?
Well, you know, if someone robs the liquor store and he's said to be a 6'6" white guy, you don't look for a 5'8" black guy. You know, the people who have attacked us have come from a certain part of the world. Most of them were here on student visas and were not obeying our rules. I think it's more important to know, if you're here from the Middle East on a student visa, are you in school? I'd like to know when you get on a plane if you're here on a student visa from the Middle East. If you've moved here recently from the Middle East, I'd like to know when you get on a plane. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is. So there are some characteristics of people who would attack us. And connection with international terrorism, connection with international travel, all of these things are risk factors. And I think probably we should use some common sense. And, you know, I just don't think a six-year-old girl from Bowling Green, Kentucky is a terror threat. And I think by spending time with her, you insult the dignity of the parent and her by doing an invasive search, and you waste your time because you've now allotted time and agents' energies towards someone who's not a threat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the argument's been made that, well, remember the little toddler in Afghanistan that went into a crowded area and blew apart, you know, as a result of a bomb placed on her by a relative. And so that's the
argument. Yeah, and I've had that discussion with the director of the TSA. I don't think a little girl in Kandahar in a market is the same as a little girl from Bowling Green. Just because they're of the same age doesn't mean they have anything in common. If a little girl from Kandahar and her family want to visit the U.S., I'm all for a very extensive screening process. I would screen them weeks before they get on the plane.
Yeah.
And I would disallow a lot of people from coming from war zones that I can't be absolutely certain they're coming here for a reason. And when they get here, I would make sure they are where they say they're going to be as well.
Yeah.
This would be a very extensive process for people who are visiting here from certain war-torn areas and hotbeds of anti-Americanism. But that doesn't have anything to do, I think, with an 8-year-old girl from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
All right. Now, on a personal note, I will say that I smiled when I heard the story initially yesterday because my thought was, okay, someone important now knows what I have to go through every time I go to the airport. Will he do something about it?
Well, there are two things I suggested to the director. One, if you walk through the scanner and it goes off, you should be allowed a chance, particularly if you don't have anything on your body that set it off, you should be allowed a chance to walk back through it if you don't want to go through a pat-down exam. It's more difficult for someone like you that has a medical device. The only answer for someone like you is that I don't think you should get a pat-down every time. I think you should get a secure ID that you submit some information voluntarily to a secure, hopefully a private security firm, and they issue you an ID, and then you go through a special line for people with medical devices.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have to be careful, but I think it is insulting to pat you down every time. My dad has artificial knees, and he gets patted down in the airport, and it infuriates him. So, you know, there just are things that – my main thing is that I don't think it's a good way to combat terrorism, because if you waste your time on people who have no potential to be terrorists, then you're not having enough time to spend on the people who would be terrorists.
Mm-hmm. All right, one more thing before I let you get out of here. You're going to be attending the State of the Union tonight, I assume.
I am.
And what are you expecting besides a campaign speech?
Well, you know, I've heard his campaign speech a couple times. The last time he spoke to the Joint Congress, it was really a lot of it was campaign. And I wish instead of him deciding that he's going to bash rich people and Republicans in Congress, he would simply have some of us to the White House and say, what are some of the things we can agree on? I guarantee if we sat for 2 hours together with several members of Congress and the President and said, what can we agree on? I think in 2 hours' time we could probably come up with at least 10 pieces of legislation we agree on. Many of the Democrats are for repatriating foreign capital at a lower tax rate. And we could put some of that money towards bridges and roads. There's a lot we could agree on, but he, I think, doesn't want an agreement because he wants to run against a Congress that won't do anything, and the only way he can have that narrative is for him not to work with us.
Yeah. Hey, pass this on to your father for me. Dr. Milton Wolf, a guy I interviewed earlier today, says, heck, he doesn't want your dad to be president. He wants him to be chairman of the Federal Reserve.
There you go. That's a good answer. I read Dr. Wolf in the Washington Times. He's a good author.
Yeah. All right. Listen, thank you so much. Good luck with this endeavor, and God bless you for having to sit through that thing tonight.
All right. Thank you.
See you later. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. here at Andy Parks Live from the Washington Times. 5:56, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth.